Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Hallelujah. It's so good to be here. We're kicking off a new series today. Amen. And it's one that everybody can be a part of. And so have you ever been in a service and thought, oh, I wish you would answer this question, or I wish, you know, she would tell us about this. And so this series is called You Asked For It. And so we're just taking questions. We ask a few people for some questions, and the first one I picked based on the needs of the congregation, because based on the phone calls that I get and based on the meetings and just conversations that I have. So the first one is based on that because it's a question that I get asked a lot. And then the next questions that we do, you guys get to pick. And so we have up here, we've got our next questions are going to be, well, they could be, you get to decide. And if you have an idea for a question, you can email it to us or hand it to me after service. But how do I change? How do I have real change in my life? How do I forgive? Oh, that's a big one. A lot of people ask that question. And the next one is, this is a big one, is how do I hear God's voice? How do I hear God's voice? And so at the end of service, whichever one of these questions you want answered next week, just drop one of the balls in the vase, and whichever one has the most, that's the one we're going to answer. And so we're going to do that, and so it'll be fun. Everybody gets to be involved, and we get a lot of great questions asked. But somebody have some questions. You know, I always encourage people that God is not offended I don't know, offended is the right word, of your questions. It doesn't mean that you're a lack of faith or you know, this or that. There's no such thing as a bad question. I say that all the time. Questions are powerful because when we have questions, that means we're looking for answers. Amen? And we need answers in our life. The Bible says the truth will set you free, but the first thing, you got to know the truth. And if you don't know about something, how can you walk in that truth if you don't know it? And so there's always questions out there. Questions are a good thing. You can always ask me questions. I may not know the answer, but I'll do my best to find the answer for you. Amen? Because I know this may come shock to you, but I don't know all the answers. Or maybe it's not a shock at all. I don't know. But today's question, you guys ready? Drum roll. Now, you know, I was at the lip sync battle, and I happen to know you can do a better drum roll than that. I was there, and my voice was hoarse. My hands were sore from doing drum roll. But don't do that. It's loud. I don't know if we're ready for that. But the first question that we're going to answer is, how do I deal with stress? This is a good one. Because you may not word it like that. But here's how sometimes it sounds. I don't know what to do. I feel overwhelmed. I feel like so much is going on. I really can't even see straight. I don't have time for anything. I'm angry all the time. Things like that. Those are all like, those are symptoms, but the cause is stress. And so stress is such a huge thing in our society today. And we know, and you guys probably know this, but drugs that help with stress, anti-anxiety, and these kinds of things are the number one prescribed drug there is. And you can just drive down the road and see that pharmaceutical drugs are a big business. Because we've got CVS, we've got Walgreens, and you guys all know my theory about Walgreens taking over. I mean, for a while there, it seemed like they were building a Walgreens on every corner. Why is that? Because it's big business. And I'm not opposed to those things. There are times when that medication is probably exactly what you need. God uses medication to help us. He does. But I know, and you know, that there's a lot of times where we just need to learn to deal with what's going on in our lives. We need to learn to deal with what's happening. And so stress can be such a kicker, and stress affects so many areas of our life. It affects our relationship. It affects your health. Most health situations and problems people have, doctors say that they are stress-related. Stress is huge. And so the thing is that obviously people don't know how to deal with stress, because here's the thing. You cannot pray this prayer. And if you're praying it, you need to stop. Lord, take this stress away. It doesn't work like that. Stress is a fruit of something else. Amen? Stress is a fruit. That means you see it in your life, but the root of it is not just a stress. It's like something needs to be handled a few steps back in order to deal with the stress that's going on in our lives. Stress affects marriages. It affects your ability to parent. It affects your work. It affects everything. And so we have to learn how to deal with it. We can't say, take all my problems away, because Jesus told us himself that we were going to have problems. We're going to have problem people. Don't look around. You know? Don't look around. We're going to have people that are problems in our life. We're going to have those relatives. We're going to have those coworkers. We're going to have situations where it's just there's a lot going on. And this isn't in your Bible app, but I'm just going to share this verse with you. Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 24, it says, an intelligent person. How many want to be intelligent? An intelligent person aims at wise action, but a fool starts off in many directions. And so we need to ask, instead of saying, Lord, take this stress away, we need to ask, Lord, help me to be wise. I ask for wisdom, because the Bible tells us in James that I can ask for wisdom. It says, if any one of you lacks wisdom, anybody know anybody that lacks wisdom? Tell him this verse. If any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask, and it will be given to them. The Bible says, without restraint or unbraideth not. That means God wants to give you all the wisdom you need to live your life. God wants to give that to you. And so we need to look for God for the wisdom and for the answers on how to deal with the life that we have. Amen. And so there's a few. I wasn't able to print my notes out, so will you show me the next verse? I know this is lame, but I was having major computer problems back there, and Pastor Scott obviously was busy. He was playing and singing. Oh, thanks. Thank you. Look at that. It's big, so I can see it. Here we go. Turn over to John 16:33. How many need help for stress? Don't raise your hand, but I bet it's a lot of us in here. I was stressed out there this morning. I was hoping my mic wasn't on, because I was like, come on, your computer ever not work and you start talking to it? Like, that's going to do any good? You know, it's like, come on, what is wrong with this thing? But John 16:33, this is Jesus talking. He says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. You're going to have trouble. I would say Jesus didn't promise you a rose garden, you know? He said, you're going to have some trouble. He said, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. He said, I tell you these things so that in me, you will have peace. The only place that we're going to find peace is in Jesus, in his truth, in his word, in his way, in his will. That's where peace is found. It's not in more. A lot of times we fall for the culture that says, especially in American culture, that says, if I have more, then I'll be, if I have more money, more clothes, more shoes, more purses, more house, more car, more, then. That's a trap. As a trap of the enemy, because Jesus says, listen, you're in this world, you're not of it. And he says, you're going to have the peace you're looking for. It's in him. And then Psalms 39:14 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Let me say amen, right? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but, look at your neighbor and say, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. The Lord delivers them out of them all. So whatever you're facing, I got the rest. Whatever you're facing, hopefully, oh, I might need that again. Whatever you're facing, God will deliver you, but we've got to be in him. Amen? And so I want to tell you like what life looks like when we're pretty stressed out. And, you know, my heart gets so broken because it seems like we just recently in the body of Christ, you know, we're all the body of Christ, all the Christian Jesus-filled churches. We're the body, and when one hurts and one has problems, it affects all of us. And again, a huge pastor of a huge church very well-known person, it was in the news, I'm not gossiping, this is in the news, was removed from his position. And it's just like, ugh. It's a heartbreaker, because what happened? He had issues going on in his personal life that caught up with him. And how many times have we heard this? And we only hear about the big dogs. We don't hear about all the ones people don't make the news. And the enemy is after, and his plan is to remove and to take out and to destroy what God has put in position. That's why the enemy fights against your marriage so much, because it is God ordained. Bible says, let no one pull apart what God has put together. And so the enemy's like, God's in that? I'm coming for it. I'm coming for it. And so there's just so much. But you know, you think about, man, how does this happen? How do these incredible men, and it's usually men because they're the ones that make the news, the men of God, how does this happen? And every time that I know of, without exception, they say this: I was exhausted. I was working too much. My priorities got out of whack. I made wrong choices. And my heart breaks for them, because we all know that feeling. Because when you are overwhelmed, when you are stressed, listen to this, your resistance is lower. You don't have the same strength to say no. You don't have it, because you are tired. Your resistance to the plan of the enemy, your resistance to the traps that he has set for you, your resistance to offense is very low. And the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 21, verse number 34, it says, be careful. If the Bible tells you to be careful, what should you do? Be careful. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing. That word means just unfocused living. It means unfocused living, just doing whatever. It says your heart will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and listen to this next word, the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. Isn't that what happens? You're just, you know, people are going along fine and you think they're fine, then bam, all of a sudden it's like, wow, I had no idea. Well, when we live carelessly, when we're carousing, we're just saying yes to everything. Drunkenness. Listen, I'm not even going to get into the debate about drinking, but the Bible clearly says don't be drunk. Very clearly. Because when you are drunk, your resistance and your judgment and everything is gone. How many stories have we heard of people that we're just like, man, that is so unlike them. They were totally drunk. And it's an epidemic with young people that get caught in life-changing situations that change their lives forever, because they've done something. You back up a couple steps, they're drunk. Listen, don't let life trap you to where the consequences of it are so big because you weren't careful. The Lord says, be careful. This is such a good verse. Or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. How many know life has some anxieties that come with it? That's just the truth. He says, and that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. Many times I've had people in my office that have been married for years and years and years, 10 plus, 20 plus years, and all of a sudden one of them will say, I want a divorce. And the other one will be completely like, what? What? They're oblivious. because the anxieties of life, the drunkenness, the carousing has suddenly come down on them like a trap. You can't just take things for granted. The word says, be careful. When we are stressed, when we are overwhelmed, when we've got too much going on, our resistance is low. And the enemy, the Bible says that what is he doing? He's walking around as a lion seeking whom he may devour. The enemy is constantly looking for a weak spot in you, just looking for that chance to pounce. And when we're so stressed out, so out of it, so just, you know, tired and exhausted, our resistance is so low, and he's right there. This is the effects of stress. We got to learn to deal with it. The next thing that stress does is it makes your emotions inconsistent. You're up and down, up and down, up and down. You're all over the place. People never know what to expect from you because your emotions are everywhere. Listen, that is not the way God designed us to live. It is not the way. And sometimes, and I'm going to step on a couple of toes. You ready? Listen, ladies, there's no excuse for that. Some people are like, oh, well, that's just how women are. No, it isn't. That's how you let yourself be. I don't care if you're male or female, you are not to be ruled by your emotions. We may be more emotional, but just because we're more emotional doesn't mean we need to be emotionally inconsistent. Amen? I don't want to be led by my emotions. I want to be led by the Lord. And so don't get angry with me, ladies, but it's the truth. Because a lot of times we'll just say, oh, it's a girl thing. No. We need to overcome that. I love what they put on the Bloom page the other day. They said, grow over it. Isn't that good? We need to grow up over that and say, you know what? Just because I'm female doesn't mean that it gives me an excuse to be emotionally inconsistent. Because when we're like that, the Bible says in Job chapter 9, this is out of a different translation, it says, my days go by faster than a runner. They fly away without me seeing, the next part is so good, any joy. When your emotions are all over the place, there's no joy there. There's no joy for you, and there's no joy for whoever's around you. Somebody say amen. You know, I used to work at one of my very first bosses. Actually, I think he was my very first boss, and he was a great guy, but I tell you, he was emotionally inconsistent because of the stress of his job. One day you would come in, and he would be super friendly and be like, hey, how's it going, blah, blah, blah. And then the next day you come in, and he'd be just so angry and yelling at everybody. And so you never knew when you walked in if you were going to be like walking on eggshells or it was going to be fun boss or crazy boss. There was no joy in that workplace because nobody knew if they said anything, if he would flip to crazy boss. And when he flipped to crazy boss, it was crazy. He would yell at people. He would fire people. He would demote people. And then the next day, he would be like, oh, no, you're fine. You're fine. You know, people would come in for their last check, and he'd be like, what's going on? They'd be like, well, you fired me yesterday. Oh, no, you're fine. I mean, it was craziness. But you know what it was? He was so stressed. He had ulcers. He had a heart attack. I mean, this guy, he was just so stressed about everything. His emotions were inconsistent, and there was no joy there. When your emotions are inconsistent in your marriage, there's no joy there because nobody knows what they're coming home to. Amen? Nobody knows what they're coming home to. And our homes, where we live, our house, whatever your house is, my house is, the Bible says that's supposed to be a safe haven. Supposed to be a safe place. And if nobody knows who they're coming home to, sometimes they don't want to come home anymore. We'll just keep going there. They're like, yikes. This is what happens when we don't learn to deal with stress. We got to be careful, the Bible says. Next thing is our productivity suffers. It just, we're not able to do as much as we think we can. A lot of times we're doing so much that we're doing too much and we're not doing any of it well. And sometimes the thing we need to do is do less. And a Bible principle is if you do less, you have more. If you do less, really ultimately you have more. You have more of what matters. And the Bible tells us in Proverbs 21:5 out of the Message, it says, careful planning puts you ahead in the long run. Hurry and scurry puts you further behind. Hurry and scurry puts you further behind. Proverbs 19, verse 2 says, a person in a hurry makes mistakes. A person in a hurry makes mistakes. And so when we've got so much going on, we've got to recognize that, you know what? I may think I'm getting more done by just working constantly, but really, you're probably getting less done. Just recently, I read an article where it said that large companies like Amazon and a couple of others, big companies, are switching, they're trying out and switching to a 30-hour work week. Because they are convinced that studies show that well-rested employees are more productive than those that work 40 to 50 hours a week. Well-rested. And so when we're totally stressed out, our productivity suffers. We're not producing what we think we are. The next one is, and this is such a big one, and I see this a lot with people, is things lose meaning. When you're so overwhelmed, you start to say things like, what difference does it make? What does it matter? I don't really care, and nobody else does either. And we just kind of check out from things. The American population of people is checking out. Binge watching TV is becoming a huge thing. And I'm not anti-TV, and actually, one of the things, like Pastor Scott and I, you know, we have time set aside. We don't do appointments. We don't do anything. It's just our time to do what we want. And sometimes that's watching, you know, 3 episodes of America's Got Talent. You know, that's a binge for me, you know? And there's nothing wrong with that. But when we're doing that constantly, day after day, because we don't care about what else is happening, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Things have lost meaning. So instead of living our own lives, listen to me, we're watching other people live theirs. Listen, it's not the same. Entertainment has a place in our life, but it can't be the biggest place in our life. Amen? And so things lose meaning. Psalms 39, verse number 6 out of the New Living says, we are merely moving shadows, and all our busy rushing ends in nothing. Just think about it for a second. When our priorities get out of whack and we're just constantly busy, the Bible says we're just moving shadows. How many know a moving shadow isn't going to get much done? It's not important. He says, and all our busy rushing ends in nothing. What happens when we're overstressed. Stress is going to happen in our lives. There are times that we're going to be busy, but we've got to see it for what it is. And the next thing that's going to happen, and this happens so often, is my relationship with God seems very distant. God doesn't move. If your relationship with God is distant, he has not moved because he doesn't change. The word says in Psalms 46:10, it says, be still and know that I am God. A lot of times the reason God seems distant is because we've been too busy to spend time with him. We've been too preoccupied. When we're in church, our head is somewhere else on what we need to do or accomplish or get done or purchase at the store or this or that. The Bible says to be still. The world does not know how to be still. I was talking to a youth one time, and they said, as soon as I come home, we were just talking, I was asking them, you know, basically about their life, and they said, oh, I said, what do you do, you know, when you get home? So the first thing I do is turn the TV on. I said, why? I can't stand this. I can't stand silence. I can't be in a place that's silent. Listen, if you can't be in silence, you're missing a part of your relationship with God that is so important. There is such power in being still and being silent and being in his presence. There's power in that. You know, I personally have practiced that for years, just being silent. I love silence. And it's a joke between Scott and I. One of the many, you know, we don't argue about much, but one thing we argue about is he is so loud. He's just loud. He's just a loud person. From the day I married him, he's been loud. And I'm not, I like quiet. You know, I mean, I love to have fun and all that kind of stuff, but, you know, I only like the TV up to a certain number. Then it's like, I can't deal with it. I can't deal with it. I have noise-canceling headphones I have in my house. No joke. Scott's like, what do you listen to? Nothing. Nothing. They cancel noise. They cancel it, you know? But that's his personality, that's mine. But I'll tell you what, I just practice that. When I get up in the morning, I'm just silent and I spend time with God. It's the first thing I do is I just spend time with him. I talk with him. I'm just in his presence. You don't need something going all the time. The Bible says, be still. I tell people all the time, you want to draw close to God? Turn the radio off in your car. Turn it off. Just turn it off. You say, listen to praise? Sometimes, but just be silent. You know, a lot of times we're waiting for God to hear us, and we'll talk about this. We're waiting for God to speak to us, but we've got so much noise going on. If he's talking, you can't hear him because the TV's on, the YouTube videos are on, this is on, that's on, everything's on. And you're like, oh, I want God to speak to me. And God's like, hello? We can't hear. We got to be still. Practicing quietness is powerful. But it takes getting used to. If you're not used to it, I can drive with somebody an entire trip and never say a word and not have the radio on. It doesn't bother me at all. But the person that I'm with, I always ask them, would you like to turn the radio on? You're welcome to turn it on if you want. No, I'm fine. And then when it's just quiet, I can see them like, you know, they're just like starting to get nervous and edgy. And I'm just like, it's okay. Do you want to talk? Sure. What do you want to talk about? I'm like, whatever you want to talk about. You know, I mean, I can tell that they're nervous in that environment because they're not used to it. It doesn't bother me at all because I'm used to it. I'm used to it. I don't mind if you don't talk to me at all. It doesn't bother me because I like silence. I think it's powerful. And so the Bible tells us to be still. Be still. When I was a youth pastor, I used to train the kids to be still for 1 minute. That doesn't sound like much. A minute's longer than you think. Set your clock on your phone. If you're here today and you're like, man, I need to work on this, set your clock on your phone, your timer for 1 minute, and just turn everything off for that 1 minute and just talk to Jesus and give him time to talk to you. And you'll be surprised how long that minute is. But once you get that minute down, what do? 2 minutes. Sometimes you're like, I'm going to spend 30 minutes with the Lord. And by 2 minutes, you're like, I don't know what to do. You got to start with where you're at. And don't be embarrassed by where you're at. We all started there. Give God 1 minute. Get that down. Give him two. And if you start, you're just like, oh, I'm more in tune with this than I thought. Then go as long as you can. The important thing is we do it. Amen? And so the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes, it says, this is such a powerful verse. I don't know if it's in your notes. Ecclesiastes 4:6, it says, it is better to have only a little with peace of mind than be busy all the time. Isn't that good? It is better to have only a little with peace of mind than be busy all the time. Isn't that good? That's a powerful life verse. And you know, the thing is that we all know, I mean, there's nothing that I just told you that you don't know. Because I've taught this before. There's nothing really that we could say about, hey, it's important to spend time with God. Who's heard that message? Yeah. Who's heard me talk about being still and being quiet? Yeah. We've all heard Jesus said you're going to have it. We've all heard that. Then what's the problem? Here's the problem. The distance between the truth I know and the truth I live equals the pain I experience. Isn't that good? I'll say it again. The distance between the truth I know and the truth I live equals the pain I experience. Because we know the truth. You're in a good church. You know the truth. I know the truth. There's areas I need to change too. We know the truth, but we do not live the truth. And if that distance is big, you're in for a lot of hurt. You're in for a lot of pain. A lot of things that God never intended for you. Never. Because God's truth will set you free from those things. But his truth needs to be known. And that word know in the Bible isn't just like a head knowledge know. It is a know as in I know it in my head, my heart, and it comes out in my actions. When you know something, you live something. But there's a lot of things I know I don't live. I know it's not a good idea to eat pizza and chocolate chip cookies. I know that. But unfortunately, I do not live that. And as a result, there's pain in my life in some things. I know that, but I don't live that. When you know to forgive and you don't, it's going to be painful for you. When we know to prioritize and put God first in our life, but we don't, there's going to be pain for us. Because the distance between the truth I know and the truth I live equals the pain I experience. God doesn't want you to experience. Many of the things we experience, God has no hand in. It's not his fault. It's not his will. It's not his want. He has nothing to do with it. And he has the answer to avoid it. Isn't that the truth? It's totally the truth. Now, there are some things that are just part of life, but Jesus said, I've overcome the world. He said, you're going to have some trouble, but you can still have peace in that trouble because he's overcome the world. You know, listen, there's times I have trouble in my life, but I have peace in my life because the distance is closed. Going through a situation with peace is the best way. Going through a situation with no peace, totally different. Totally different. Going through it with the power of God is one thing. Going through it on my own is something totally different. Amen? And so what do we do? What do we do? I'll tell you what, this is a personal, powerful thing, and I hope everybody gets it. Because I'll tell you what, I've never preached this from this perspective, what you do. What do you do when life is so busy, crazy things are happening, people are, do you notice that people are so much angrier now than they've ever been before? The gas station by where I live, beautiful, well-lit Cumberland Farms. It's so nice and wonderful, and they give me free iced teas when I get gas there. I mean, it's fabulous. Somebody got stabbed there the other day in the middle of the day. We were at 2J's at breakfast, and it says, person stabbed at gas station at the place on 6 Mount Luca and Military. I was like, Mount Luca and Military? I mean, that's my neighborhood. That's what, I go there all the time. But you know what happened? Guy cut in front of him in line. So they got into an argument. And the argument escalated. One guy stabbed the other guy. I'm not gonna tell the story. It's just to talk about something that happened at the Publix there too, to somebody that I know. Because they didn't know somebody was there, somebody got all bent out of shape, they had to call the cops. People are so angry. People are like on the edge, are at the end of their rope, on the edge of the cliff. I mean, people are hanging on by a thread, and you're like, what has happened? People don't know how to deal with life. They don't know how to deal with disappointment. They don't know how to deal with things don't go their way. And Jesus said, you can have peace in a disappointment. You can have peace when things don't go your way. You can have peace in tribulations. You can have what you need to get through whatever life is happening. For those anxieties of life. And here's how you do it. Hebrews 4:9. It says, there remains then, this is God's answer. And you can search the whole word and you're going to find what's the answer. And he's going to keep saying the same thing. He says, then there remains then, you guys ready? A Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. And then it says, let us therefore make every effort to enter in that rest. I've taught about the Sabbath before. I've heard great messages about the Sabbath. I'm going to be very honest with you. I have never practiced it until this year, 2016. I went to a pastor's school, and Robert Morris, who teaches, he's the one who wrote The Blessed Life. He has one of the largest churches in America, Gateway Church out in Texas. I mean, this guy, he's got it going on. And he was there live and in person. There was only about 100 pastors there. And he was there. He was standing from me to Terry. And he is teaching this message. And the whole time he's teaching it, the Lord is telling me, this is why you're here. This is why you're here. Because there was an urgency in me to go to this pastor's conference. And it's a school. It's a pastor's school. It's just, it's classroom teaching. And then it was so powerful. God wanted me there so much that I didn't want to spend the money to go. And a lady in our church emailed me and said, it's really on my heart to pay for you to go to this school. I never even told her I wanted to go. Never even mentioned it. She said, I know you really like Jimmy Evans. And I know you've wanted to go to this school. I'm going to pay for it for you. And while I'm there, Robert Morris, who we all greatly respect, have received so much from, he begins to tell a story that I will never forget. He told this story, it's funny now, but it wasn't funny at the time for him, that he came back from a trip. He told this publicly, so I'm not gossiping. He came back from a trip. This is Robert Morris, right? Like BFFs with Joel Osteen, Robert Morris. And he's telling a story that he got back from a trip, he took a shower, walked into his closet, pulled out his sock drawer, and there were no socks, and he had a complete and total breakdown. He began to just cry physical tears because he had no socks to wear. And then he opened up his underwear drawer. No, he opened up his underwear drawer first, and there was no underwear. And to hear Robert Morris even say the word underwear is just unnerving. I don't want to hear about Robert Morris's underwear. I mean, it's Robert Morris. It's just one of those things. I'm just sitting there like, I don't even want to hear this. But he had no clean underwear. And because of the level of his exhaustion, his emotions were inconsistent. His decision making was warped. He could not understand or think what he was going to do for that day because he could not go without underwear. Somebody say amen. He could not. He had to go to the office and there were no clean underwear. He said it never occurred to him to just go to Walmart and buy some. It never occurred to him to just wear a pair from the day before. It never occurred to him. He just began to weep. And then he opened up his sock drawer and he only had one pair of socks and he thought, what am I going to do tomorrow? I mean, he's for real. And then he said he fell to the ground, sat in his closet and wept. And I'm thinking to myself, this is Robert Morris. How is this possible? You know, I mean, in my mind, I'm like, just go buy a pair. Surely you got somebody that works for you that'll go to Walmart for you. Even I could send somebody to Walmart and I'm just here, you know? But the thing is that he was exhausted. And so he couldn't make good decisions. His resistance was down. His emotions were all over the place. He was tired. And so he got himself together. He never said what he did about the underwear situation. He got himself together, and he said he went to the office, and he met with his right-hand guy, and he told him the story. He said, "I think I'm crazy. I think you need to take me to get checked out because I can't stop crying." And he said, "I'm not a crier." He said, "I can't stop crying. I can't think straight. I can't do anything." And thank God he had somebody in his life that would just grab him by the shoulders and say, "You are exhausted." And he said it was that moment that he began to understand that he had violated God's principles in so many ways. And so he took a leave of absence for several weeks. And he said he was sitting on a cruise ship, and he was finally feeling like himself. He finally felt connected to God again. He finally felt joy rise up on the inside. He finally felt his mind begin to just be still. He felt like himself, he said. And I didn't know this about Robert Morris, but he's a math genius. He can figure all kind of complicated math things in his head. He's a literal math genius. And he said he began to calculate the years that he had not done the Sabbath, and it equaled the number of days that he had been out of the office and on a sabbatical. And he said the Lord spoke to him and said, "You've caught up. You've caught up." And then he began to teach about the Sabbath. And I tell you, it changed me. From that time, I have honored and made every effort to take a Sabbath day. Because here's what he said. He said, when we don't Sabbath, we're saying that I'm doing it in my strength. Because the Sabbath principle, because it doesn't make sense to our natural mind, we're saying, I'm going to not work as much, but believe to get more done. That doesn't make sense, right? It's the same principle of the tithe. I'm going to give, but I'm going to have more. It is a supernatural principle of God. And he said, when we don't Sabbath, when we don't take that time for God, and if you're here today and you're like, "I don't even know what that word means," the Sabbath is that day of rest, that day where we honor God, we worship God, we spend time with God, and then we rest. And it doesn't mean that you lay on your couch all day and do nothing. It means whatever your job is, like if your job is to answer the phone and return text messages and be with people and meet with people and pray with people and prepare, who does it sound like? And prepare messages and study. You don't do that on your Sabbath. You do something else. You do something else. But you say no to that. And one of the things that he said that was so powerful was that he said, when you don't do it, whatever you're doing in that time is not blessed. It doesn't have the power of God on it because God says you need to be resting. One of the best examples that we see in our day of people that honor the Sabbath is Truett Cathy. Anybody know who that is? He's a Chick-fil-A guy. He said, "Let me be remembered as someone who lived by their principles." Because everybody told him, "You will never have a successful business, a fast food business, being closed on Sunday. You will never be successful. Because everybody else is open on Sunday, you'll never be successful." And he said, "I live by my principles, and this is the Sabbath." And to this day, they are closed on Sunday. And here's the thing you may not know, is that Chick-fil-A is one of the most, it is the most profitable fast food restaurant there is. Isn't that incredible? And they do what the other people are trying to do in 7 days, they do it in six. They do it in six. It is a godly principle. It's a godly principle. Just like the tithe is a godly principle, the time of Sabbath is a godly principle. I tell you, I remember I came home and Devon was like, hey, what'd you get out of the thing? And I was like, oh. And I just unloaded on him about the Sabbath, didn't I? And he was like, are you going to do that? I was like, I'm going to do it. So now he'll text me and check on me. Are you Sabbathing today? But the thing is that you think like, oh, because I was always like, oh, I got to get this done. I got to get this done. I got to talk to this person. I got to do this. I got to do this. I was getting tired. I was getting tired because I was pouring out and not doing what God said. Listen, if God needs a day of rest, who are we to say that we don't? We're foolish. We're foolish. But, you know, I'm a doer. And so I was like, oh, I got to get this done. Got to get this done. Got to get this done. You know what? Everything still gets done. It still gets done. It took some people a little getting used to. Because people would be calling. I'd be like, listen, I don't answer my phone. Don't call me on Monday. I'm not going to answer. There's other people that work on Monday. And I don't even have my phone with me. I just put it away. Say, but I need you. I need to do what God tells me to do. And that's why we have other, there's somebody that works on Monday and they get a different day off. But the thing is, it's a principle to Sabbath. And here's what it does. Let's do these real quick. You got to rest your body. You got to rest. Psalms 127:2 says, in vain, say vain. That means it's not going to work. In vain, you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat. But the word says, for he grants sleep to those he loves. You have to sleep. When you're not sleeping, don't even get me started with that. I've shared many times what Pastor Scott and I went through with the sleep issue that he had. Sleep is powerful. You must have it. You've got to have it. So we got to rest our body. Number two thing, and this has three things in it, and this is what the Sabbath does. Because Hebrews, some people say, oh, Sabbathing is Old Testament. Funny, Hebrews, I'm pretty sure, is towards the back. You know, Hebrews is New Testament. And Hebrews talks about going to church, tithing, and Sabbathing. And it's all New Testament. And he says, let us therefore make every effort to enter into that rest. And so one thing Sabbath does, it replenishes your soul. It replenishes you. Number one, with quietness. Psalms 23, 2 and 3 says, we know this, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Spending time just in that quiet with the worship. You know, people say, what's important? You know, Sabbath, you know, for you guys, Sabbath is part of it is church a lot of times. And that's good because worship is that water that he says, he leads me besides quiet waters. And then the next thing that really we should be looking forward to in our Sabbath is times for fun. Times for fun. You know, a lot of times, you know, the best thing you can do is take a nap and have some fun. Amen. I always remind people when Elijah, if you study out Elijah, when he was running from Jezebel, when he was running from her, he was in fear. This guy, he had just a great illustration. He had just defeated the prophets of Baal. He had just been the same one that said, pour some more water on mine. He had just been that same one who was so bold and so confident and stood before 600 prophets of Baal. They were demonic people. He stood before them alone and said, my God is the one true God. At risk of his life, he had done that. He was so bold and confident. The very next day, the same guy is running from a woman. In fear for his life. Isn't that crazy? I mean, she must have been some scary lady. But it's just like the very next day. But here's the thing. When he finally stopped, the very first thing the Lord told him to do was to go to sleep. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is go to bed. Amen. Go take a nap. When people come in my office sometimes, they are so all over the place and their emotions are everywhere. I'll just look at them and be like, when is the last time you had a good sleep? I'll be like, you need to go home, you need to rest, and come back. We have got to rest. We got to, because that's what enjoyment does, and that's what rest for our body does. That's what quietness does. We've got to spend some time with people. Our world is so isolated anymore. People are thinking their friends on Facebook are going to meet the same emotional needs that a real friend does. They don't. We have a generation of people that don't have any type of emotional health because they're not with real people. And it's that isolation, that's what the enemy is trying to get you isolated. We got to replenish our soul with being quiet, spending time with God, with having some fun. Proverbs 17:22 says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. And then the next thing is with people. We got to have that face-to-face encounters with people. That's why Hebrews 10:25, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We need one another, not just online. That's not the same. It's not the same as being with somebody and talking with them and encouraging them and sharing life with someone. It's not the same. Some of the most simple things will feed your soul more than anything. One of the things that we do almost every Sunday is we play cards together. The family, we get together, we play cards, we laugh, we talk, we eat, we spend time together. You say, well, what does that do? It brings enjoyment and it connects me to people. You need that. One of the best things you can do is ask somebody to go to lunch after church. Spend time with them. Invite people to your house to play cards or play a game of aggravation or play. Ask these guys for games. They know all the games. You know, not on a screen. It's not healthy all the time. Instead of watching the game by yourself, invite a couple of friends over so you can yell and scream at the team together. Amen? You'd be surprised what it does for you. And the last thing that Sabbath is going to do, because a lot of times people think a Sabbath day is just sitting, you know, like, that's not a Sabbath. A Sabbath is a day where you honor the Lord and you spend time with friends and you relax and have some fun. That is a Sabbath. You know, one of the things that we'll close up here, one of the things that Robert Morris said, he pointed out a scripture in the Old Testament, which I didn't even know was there, never heard it. I'm sure I read it because I've read through the Bible, but you know how you just skip over things. There was a man in the Old Testament, and they caught him gathering sticks, but it was the Sabbath day. And so they brought the man to Moses. Now, this is Old Testament. When you find out what happened, you're going to be like, thank God we're not in the Old Testament. But it shows the importance of the Sabbath. This guy was out gathering sticks, and this group of people caught him. And they said, you're gathering sticks on the Sabbath. What will we do? So they bring him to Moses. They said, Moses, we caught this guy. He's gathering sticks on the Sabbath. You know what Moses said? Stone him. Now, we're not going to stone anybody. And that is not good Sabbath thing to do, is to get stoned. Don't do that. Right? Don't do that. Got to clarify that. We're in Lake Worth. As soon as you say stoned, people are like, real? What are you talking about? You know, we joke about it, but I'll tell you what. That's just another form of drunkenness. Another form. And that's another message. But the thing is that the Sabbath was so holy and such an important principle of God that when somebody got caught, I mean, he wasn't like killing anybody. He wasn't stealing stuff from people. He was gathering sticks. But his punishment was to end his life. Now, we don't understand that. That's Old Testament. But I wanted to show us the importance of the Sabbath. Now for us, We live under the dispensation of grace. So God's not angry with you when you don't Sabbath, but he's saying that's not the way. It's not the way. Last scripture is Psalms 91. It says, a song for the Sabbath day. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. You have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. Fine oils have been poured upon me. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. Listen, when you Sabbath, you're going to be the one who's flourishing at work. Because you're saying, Lord, I recognize that my success at work, my success at home, what I have is not dependent on me and my efforts, but it is all dependent on you. I trust you. I set this time aside, this Sabbath aside. I do it to honor you and to show that you are my source and not myself. That is the power of the Sabbath. And it's also the power of the tithe. God says, if you'll lay some time down, not just to spend time in prayer and praying and speak. No, there's a time for that. But just where you don't work, God will bless you. Let's pray together. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that the principle of the Sabbath will just hit home for so many people here today. That, Lord, that those who are married here today will see that some of the issue they're facing is just that they need to rest. Some of the things you're facing in your family is not that you've got bad kids. It's not that you're a bad parent. It's just you're trying to do too much and you need to rest. Lord, help us see the power of having fun. Help us see the power of being together with friends and with family. Help us recognize the power of Sabbath time. Let us remember that hurry and scurry leads to nothing. That working apart from God is working in vain. It's not going to be blessed anyway. We have a choice to make. We can do it God's way, or we can keep spinning our wheels trying to do it all on our own. And Lord, I pray that all of us here today, we make a choice and a decision to honor your word, your way, with Sabbath time. Help us see the importance, Lord. Help us see that your way is always the best. Help us see that. Because, Lord, our minds are going 100 miles an hour, and we're just trained and indoctrinated through our culture to just go, 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 go. But, Lord, we want to choose your way. We want to have peace in times of trouble. Lord, help us see that this is the solution to our stress. It's not more money. It's not more this. It's not more of anything, but more of your will. Oh, Father, my heart's cry is that every person in here hears this and applies it. Lord, help us see your truth. Oh, I thank you. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Oh, I pray that we get it. Amen. I wish I would have gotten it sooner. Would have helped me. But I'm glad I got it now. Amen. I'm glad I got it now. Well, we're going to receive our offering. I've run over as usual.